I'm Ed Gordon, and this is News and Notes. Many children are told stories by elders and their family, fairy tales and heroes' journeys, family lore passed from one generation to the next. News and Notes' Roy Hurst introduces us to a young novelist who's absorbed these stories and transformed them into an international bestseller.
Jessamy, I am in the cupboard, she whispered. Her mum leaned on the cupboard door, trying to peer into the cupboard. Trying, Jess realized, to see her face.
You can never overestimate the value of a child with a book in her hand. Take Helen Oyeyemi, now 20, born in Nigeria, raised in a working-class section of London. Before her teens, she was carrying around volumes of Shakespeare.
I think I thought I was far cleverer than I actually was when I was younger.
By 13, she was writing haikus and short stories.
I mean, I was very much in love with words and stories, but at the same time, I was a bit of an exhibitionist with it.
At 18, one of those stories got her a literary agent. That year, while she should have been studying to get into Cambridge, she found herself on a secret deadline to produce a novel.
I never really liked to do much homework anyway, so in a way, the story kind of became a way for me to avoid doing schoolwork.
And so Helen Oyeyemi dove in, and without her parents knowing, began expanding her short story, which was based on a Nigerian myth.
I got completely obsessed with the story in a way that I haven't ever been struck by anything else apart from reading. I mean, usually if I'm reading a novel, I'll kind of suspend everything else, but I've never been so into writing one single thing.
She called her novel The Icarus Girl. Her agent sent it to Bloomsbury Publishing, and they promptly offered her a generous book deal. That's when she decided to let her parents in on it.
They would probably find out if I didn't just tell them, so then I told them.
Since its publication in 2004, The Icarus Girl has become something of an international phenomenon, both a popular and a critical success. Rights sold in 19 countries, talks of movie deals.
It was nearly 6 now, and she had hidden herself in the landing cupboard after lunch.
Now Oyeyemi is on her Nigerian-British invasion of America, signing books, doing readings, wooing critics.
I mean, first there's her remarkably young age, which, you know, puts her in a very, very, very small category.
John Freeman is a freelance writer and board member of the National Book Critics Circle.
There's this urge to find a newer, younger, more talented voice. That's one thing that newspapers and the media sort of exists for, is it's to feed people's curiosity for that. So, I mean, it brings people to the book, but I don't think it takes away from the book. I mean, I don't think it's overhyped.
So that's the irresistible story behind Helen Oyeyemi's story. What's the novel about? Ask Oyeyemi to sum it up, and you get this.
That's remarkably hard. Oh, dear.
To speed things up a little, you could say that The Icarus Girl is a kind of ghost story about identity.
It's not just a genre story. It's not just a horror story. It's a story about cultural loss.
The story is about an 8-year-old girl, Jessamy Harrison.
Jessamy Harrison is biracial, part British, part Nigerian, living in London, and very, very lonely.
She has a great capacity to feel and to think. You know, things often become too much for her, and she kind of collapses into these screaming fits.
In other words, little Jessamy is a problem child. Her parents love her, but don't understand her.
Her mum let go of her, shook her head. Then she said, how would you like for us to go to Nigeria? Her mother, yes, in particular, feels that she doesn't have enough understanding of her Nigerian background. And possibly that's why everything seems a bit too much for her. So they take her back to Nigeria.
Jess, when she goes to Nigeria for the first time, is like a fish out of water. And yet the same thing happens to her when she's in London. She doesn't feel like she fits in.
She meets her grandfather, who she builds a very strong relationship with. She also builds a strong relationship with the girl that she meets there who's living in the deserted servant's house in her grandfather's compound. And this girl is called Tilly Tilly.
In Tilly Tilly, Jessamy finds her very first friend, an adventurous girl of the same age, only more Nigerian.
Jess looked at the girl carefully. She was slight, and her bushy hair was tied into two big, round, springy puffs, one behind each ear, with what looked like trailing, dirty white string.
And she thinks, oh, you're like me, you know, but you're not. You're Nigerian, and I'm not. But I am, sort of. And so it immediately presents this kind of fractured mirror.
And she asks the girl to come back to England with her. And the girl does.
There's an escalation. First, it's sort of child's play. Then it becomes kind of strange and very unnerving.
For a long time, Jess refuses to acknowledge that there is something that is possibly not right about this girl. I mean, her loneliness far outweighs any fears that she could have about Tilly Tilly.
I think that's where the novel becomes not just about these cultural issues, but a kind of horror story.
And Tilly Tilly ends up seriously damaging Jess's relationships and her state of mind.
It also taps into sort of mythological significance of childbirth that anyone in any culture can understand immediately.
Tilly Tilly, what happened to that baby? Tilly Tilly did not reply.
The Yoruba myth in question has to do with what happens when adults don't properly perform burial rites for twins. It's a myth Oyeyemi learned as a kid listening to stories of her Yoruba parents.
Tilly Tilly, please don't make that noise. I don't like it. It's making me ill.
Her entire life she's been immersed in African mythology, but she doesn't exactly see the world through Nigerian eyes. After all, her parents brought her to live in London when she was four.
You know, I've completely lost it. I've lost the accent. And I've lost the ability to kind of think and dream in Yoruba.
She fidgets when she speaks. She's tall, brown skin, with long braids streaked in blue and purple and white.
You know, I eat Nigerian food. I have Nigerian family, but there's still something that doesn't quite connect. Like, it doesn't take over my inside life. So when I get to thinking and reading and hearing about Nigerian mythology from my parents and my grandparents, then that's a way of kind of accessing what I feel is the interior of Nigerian culture. I mean, through myths and through legends and folktales, people are talking about how they relate to the world and the forces that they feel control their lives. And, you know, I can relate to that.
It feels like this should be her second or third or fourth novel. And the way that it closes is just really impressive. And I think that's one thing that you can't really teach a writer. That's something you learn from reading or that you're just somehow born with. And I think that's one thing that people are responding to, is that it seems like she's born to tell stories.
Where's that baby? Jess whispered. Tilly Tilly executed a twirl in the doorway. She's dead. Jess stared at her friend. The way I feel about the Icarus Girl, it's the best thing that I could have done when I was 18. But at the same time, I know that anything that I write now will almost automatically be better than the Icarus Girl, just by virtue of me being older and having read more things and thought more. So, yeah.
Roy Hirst, NPR News.
Don't be silly, Jesse. I couldn't kill anyone. I'm only little. She laughed. Jess couldn't laugh long. She was afraid again and knew that something bad had happened to that baby. Then how come she's dead? Tilly Tilly folded her arms. I don't like to say, but it's your mother's fault. Then she dropped quite suddenly out of sight.
You can read the first chapter of Oyeyemi's novel, plus hear the author read two of her favorite passages. To do so, go to our website at npr.org.